coming up on this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast.
Who is that human or humans? What is their understanding? What are their proclivities? Are they biased? Are they all of a particular race or culture?
Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD, where the doctor helps you unlock your full potential by equipping you with tools and knowledge in the areas of health, wealth, and wisdom, anchored in his experience as a business executive, a physician surveyor for the Joint Commission, a former mayor, and over 50 years of experience as a general surgeon. You've got questions, he's got answers. So let's get started. Here's Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.
Just for fun. And I said, so I went to the chat bot. I said, tell me all the great things you've done in the last 12 months. What have you learned in the last 12 months? It says, we've made advances in powering new drug discovery process. Think about the pandemic, and think about vaccines, and think about the issue of, well, how fast can you get that vaccine done? It used to take months and years to do that. Doesn't take months and years now. Why? Because the pharmaceutical companies have artificial intelligence equipment in their organization. Quantum computing that solves problems on that classic computers cannot solve. So what it's done is it's taken those big smart computers and it's taken them up a notch. So whatever they were doing, this can do it faster. Okay? Increased improvements in cleaning and surgery, and we talked about that already. The computers, the robots, particularly in surgery, are smaller and can do the work faster. What kind of network do you have in your neighborhood? If you have a 5G network, you know, that's because of the artificial intelligence, because they want to push stuff out to the customer so you can watch those movies and games faster with fewer interruptions, et cetera, et cetera. And climate change mitigation is working overtime for some to help to decrease the climate change problems. So what are the risks very quickly? The risk is, just like we always said about any computer, garbage in, garbage out. Somebody has to put the information in the computer. Somebody has to give it the data. Somebody has to give it the proposition. Somebody has to give it the problem. That somebody is a human initially. So who is that human or humans? What is their understanding? What are their proclivities? Are they biased? Are they all of a particular race or culture? And so is what they put into that computer skewed? And sometimes unconsciously, you know, doesn't mean they're bad people. And so these are some of the things that one has to be careful of with information from the artificial intelligence of vehicles. And so you have to make sure that information makes sense. Another reason why you want to know what your children are watching and what they're listening to, okay? Safety. You could imagine, just like the good people in the world, there are bad people in the world. And those bad people in the world are just as smart as some of those good people in the world. And they're working overtime to see how they can use that information and technology to continue along their bad or negative course. And so you want to be aware of that. And profiling and deception, sort of like bias. That one of the chatbots did a thing and said, tell me about the doctors in the country. And it says, well, the doctors are male and they do this and do that. Well, the reality is more doctors graduating from medical school in 2024, female, not male. Right. So that's a bias in the system. No doubt put in when the data was put in. And maybe back then that was the case. It's not the case now. And so those are some of the things you have to be concerned about. And the same thing could be racial bias and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Profiling. Well, if you are this height and look this way and this color, more likely than not, you're going to do X as compared to doing Y. Right. So the law enforcement said, well, I'm going to stop him before he does X. And so I'm protecting these other people. So, again, you want to be careful of that. Knowledge is power. So if you're aware that that's a particular problem with this technology, then you can make sure that that doesn't cause a problem. And again, some of the things we talked about in healthcare, clinical decision support, helping us doctors to make the right decision about what to do with patients, literature searches, procedure searches, patient satisfaction. This is particularly for hospitals. Real quickly, before we close, this gentleman, Jeffrey Hinton, he was vice president of Google, and he resigned last year. And one of the reasons he resigned was, and he's considered the godfather of artificial intelligence. I may have mentioned him before, but his fear and his worry, and he helped to create AI, is that it's more intelligent than we are right now. Now, of course, the company said, no, we're working on it. We have it under control. There's nothing to worry about. But this guy helped to invent it, and he quit. He quit. So I said, I wonder why he quit. Well, what does he know that I don't know, since he created this technology? And so, I'm sure he didn't have to work anymore. And so what he's doing is, I think he feels a little guilty, and he's going around trying to make it right, and educate people. But he's saying that it's more intelligent than us right now, that it will figure out ways to manipulate us, that we cannot stop working on it, and that he wanted to be able to speak freely. Now, I don't know enough about it to know all these things, but I do know enough to just try to be careful. And again, go back to our original belief, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. I don't want something controlling me. I want to have enough knowledge and information so at least I can protect myself and those that I care about. Again, the same thing we were talking about in terms of limited memory and self-aware AI. Real quickly, we talked about sentience, the ability to feel. Let's go back, and many of you remember way back from the first podcast or the first presentation we made about this in terms of masterclass, is our good friend the amygdala. If we cut the brain in half, that red area there is called the amygdala. And the amygdala is the emotion center of the brain. It's where the feelings come from, good feelings, bad feelings, right? What distinguishes us, in my opinion, from Copilot or Bard or some of these others, that they don't have amygdalas yet. Yet. Well, I should say that I know of. I should qualify that, right? Because my belief is that once they get an amygdala or an amygdala type structure, or function, or that functionality, they can then feel. They can be happy, or they can be sad. What do you do when you're happy? What do you do when you're sad, right? What do you do when you're running around and everything is going well? What do you do when you're angry? Anger is an emotion. It's an emotion. Love is an emotion. And I think most of us humans would admit we don't 100% understand all these emotions, let alone control them 100% of the time, right, if we choose to. Think if you put that into this powerful entity that's smarter than you, right, because you made it, and you made it so it would be smarter than you, and then you give it the ability to feel and experience emotion. I'll just stop there. I'm sure you can imagine. I'll let you marinate on that. Move on. I believe, and we're almost done, I believe it is important that parents don't have to be experts on computers. And I am certainly not suggesting that. I am suggesting, though, as a parent, that you at least be able to speak some of the language of computers. Basic stuff. Why do you need to speak some of the language? So you tell you what this is. No, don't do that. I mean, they would love it because they want to turn those tables, right? You remember what it was like to be a teenager? You know, you wanted to assert that manhood or womanhood or whatever. But you want to speak the language. What do I mean by speaking the language? You want to always be able to communicate. Remember, I always talk about relationships, mutual respect, mutual trust. I believe the most important part of that trilogy is good communication. You can fuss and fight with your kids, okay, that's fine. but you never want to lose communication with them. You don't want them to stop talking to you, right? Why? Because if they don't talk to you, you don't know what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on, you can't help. I don't care how right you are. I don't care how, I think I told the story. I don't know, but I'll tell it real quick. When my sons, and they grew up in St. Stephen's, when my sons were teenagers, they must have been preteen and teenagers. I had a thing about, well, you dress a certain way when you come to church. I was taught it's God's house, you be respectful. You don't dress any way come to church. You know, just my thing. And so I had this thing about you should wear a tie if you're going to go to a Sunday morning service. Well, they thought that was silly. I said, why do I have to wear a tie? What difference does it make? And I went to my whole day. They still thought it was silly. So I said, you know, the ultimate trump, I am your father. Right? You will do that, you know, that whole thing. I learned a long time ago that that just doesn't work after a while. But thank God that God said, you know what, really, Choctaw, does it really matter? I mean, seriously. And this is my conversation with the person in the mirror. And I came to the conclusion, it really doesn't matter. That what's most important? That they go to church, that they walk into the building. Who cares? Continue that conversation with them. So that they can tell me when they think I'm being silly, right? Because if they're afraid of me, they say, oh, no, I can't say that today, and I'll get hit in the mouth. Now, I don't know, so then I'm going to continue down this path being wrong, and I'm certainly not reaching them. What's my point? My point is you always want to keep communication with your kids. You don't have to always be right. The other thing I learned from that very quickly is I went back and apologized to them. I went back and said, you know what? You were right, and I was wrong. I was way out in left field. Blah, 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 blah. Why did I do that? Because I'm trying to teach that everybody makes mistakes. And when you make a mistake, the way you get over it, the way you grow, the way you learn from it, is you acknowledge it. I'm sorry. I screwed up. I shouldn't have done it. Please forgive me. Blah, blah, blah. God is not finished with me yet. Whatever you want to say. But acknowledge it and acknowledge it to the person, particularly children that you're having this conversation with. You can find information about artificial intelligence anywhere online. I would encourage you to go to various universities, Johns Hopkins, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, UCLA, USC, wherever you're comfortable, and just put in artificial intelligence and children, and you'll get a whole host of information. In summary, artificial intelligence is not our future, it is our present. It is here now. I would argue it's been here for a while. The most important part about the learning is really the machine learning, which is the basic, and then it goes all the way up to the machine being able to feel. The chatbots are very, very nice. They're put in place to be evaluated and to be attracted to children. But as parents, it's our job to protect our children from everything, you know, particularly those things that are not in their best interest. Robots and certain types of AI have been used for years, but it's important to recognize that these artificial intelligence types of material and representatives have downsides. And we need to be aware of those downsides, because then and only then can we protect our children. Real quickly, my basic principles, I always like to mention this. God is in charge of my life. It has been. And he directs where I go and what I do. I don't have bad days. I figured out that my days were good or bad when I said they were. And so I no longer say they are bad. Don't sweat the small stuff, and most stuff is small. I've learned that, and so I don't worry about little things anymore as much as I used to. Forgiveness is therapy. So when people do or say things to you that you feel is not appropriate, forgive them. Forgive them. Don't try to figure it out. Don't look at the facts. Just forgive them. And finally, relationships, everything is a relationship. Based on mutual respect, mutual trust, good communication. If you have those three things, you have a good relationship. If you do not, then you have work to do. Are there any questions? Anybody online with any questions?
Hi, Dr. Chalker. I had a question. I don't know. A year or two ago, there was, I think it was New York or somewhere, and there was a stadium, and there was a particular law firm representing like a group, and they had to do, they had like face recognition, and they didn't let those people come into the stadium. So is there any, like, is there regulation against that? Like, or is it just each company can do what they want? And if they don't like how you voted or how you did something, they can exclude you from a venue, even though you paid for the tickets. And, you know, I think it was like a basketball stadium or something, basketball game or something.
Yes, it was. And that's an excellent question. Because, yeah, and your question goes to, well, what kind of regulation is protecting us, the public, from all these things that are happening? And the reality is the regulation is not fast enough and it's not smart enough. Because you're right, law enforcement obviously is trying to be ahead of the game. And if they can put spatial recognition and identify you at a stadium among thousands of people, you really have your rights being more limited than they should be. The reality is that our Congress, most of them are, I don't know, septuagenarians or whatever, and they don't even understand the artificial intelligence. So it's a problem. They're trying to catch up. They're using consultants, and some of the people with AI, with the Microsoft and Google are trying to help, but it's not there yet, to be honest with you. And so right now, we do not have good regulation to protect the public right now. Thank you. Good question. Any other question? Yes, sir. Some of what Faber is asking, the government is slow. You know, if you watch CNN or the process of getting things done is very deliberate, and it goes back and forth and back and forth. And as we have mentioned, this artificial intelligence stuff moves in seconds and minutes, and so the government is already at a disadvantage. It is trying to do some of those things, but it is still very, very slow. And chances are, even though it may do some things, it may not really do it fast enough. I think that it's already at the amygdala, but that's just me, to be honest with you. Yes, ma'am.
It's to move way faster than regulation.
Yeah.
So by the time the government catches up with what they're doing right now, the scientists have evolved 10, 15 years. So all we have to do is then to be careful.
Well, I think the government will do some things, and they'll try to make it retroactive. And so I don't want it to sound like that nothing is done. But to your point, scientists have already started before the government even knew about the problem. Most of the times, then when the government finds out about a problem, it has to understand the problem. And then after it understands the problem, it's then got to agree of what the remedy is. And each one of those three stages takes months, sometimes months and years, whereas this stuff is just going, you know, in seconds again. So I think the government will do some things, but it probably will not be 100% adequate, which is why conversations like the ones we're having this morning are so important. We have to do it ourselves and not rely on the government 100%. Yeah, the government may help, but we've got to take care of our own. And again, knowledge is power. Yes, ma'am.
When you're talking about AI, I remember watching the, I think it was Chicago Police on TV. Mm-hmm. And it had showed, it was AI, that they had used the system to determine whether someone is guilty or innocent.
Oh, yeah.
And they made a mistake.
Yep.
In it on regards about people of color. And
yep.
It was never tested on people of color. It
yep.
was tested on the other race. And they accused, as they went with AI, and they accused a person of being guilty
yep.
of something. And it was facial acknowledged on it. And the person was not guilty and ended up dying.
And this is one of the problems with bias. If I look at Jesse and he's wearing black shoes, and I say all people who wear black shoes are, And you can fill in the blank, whatever you want to fill in. That's the way I view people with black shoes. So when I see somebody with black shoes, I said, aha, I know, because I have that belief system. Remember, we talked about our beliefs affects how we think, and how we think affects how we feel, and how we feel affects how we act. If I have that belief system that if you wear black shoes, you more likely than not are going to steal somebody's purse or whatever, however you want to put it, then it is not that uncommon that I'm going to create stuff to that point. In healthcare, and I've talked about this before, we treated heart attack a certain, we treated women with heart attack the way, same way we treated with men. And that because it was based on data that was biased against women, because the information that we used to come up with those ideas didn't include women. The same thing is true with different races. They didn't include African Americans. They only included Caucasians. And so again, garbage in, garbage out. And that's one of the concerns. But at least if you're aware of it, then you don't accept everything just because they say it is. I'm really skeptical about numbers. You give me a number, you know, I'm going to say, and so where did you get that number? And how did they get it? Whatever. Because many times numbers and pseudoscience or fake science are used to influence people, because then it stops debate. You don't question, well, you know, they said that the statistics say blah, blah, blah. Well, what statistics? Who put those statistics together? Blah, blah, blah. So my suggestion is be a little skeptical about everything. You know, that doesn't mean you're distrustful, but ask questions. Ask questions. And I think our government will help us, but I believe it won't be fast enough. And that we're going to have to supplement that protection by having knowledge and power ourselves.
Doc, let me say this without jeopardizing myself.
Okay.
as much as I possibly can. Incident did happen. But what we're doing, what we're trying to do was put in the Vimsards in, and I'm going to go into that detail, to have a machine to adhere to our...
Okay,
so I understand. Anybody that's a machine exceeds, like it thinks faster than we do.
Yes, it does.
So it exceeded the parameters that we're trying to put in for it.
Yes.
They're still working on it.
Yes. I understand.
But that's as much as I can say about it.
No, I understand. I understand exactly. And my point is that since we humans are catching up, you know, and we didn't know how this stuff's going to happen. So we have, the first thing is being aware of the problem. Now we can come up with ways to mitigate that. You know, we could modify the machines, change the data, do different things, whatever that works. But we need to be aware that it's not 100% 100%. And that's just the knowledge and the gift that God has given us. Yeah, right. That God expects us to use the minds that he's given us and the way he's blessed us and said, give me more information. I'm not quite there yet. And we can do that in love. It doesn't have to be a confrontational thing or a mean thing. But that's how we grow. That's how we all grow.
By the way, I can understand why the gentleman resigned.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand.
So can I. Because if I'm in a situation where I fundamentally disagree with what's going on, and I cannot change it, or I feel like I'm not being listened to, I will move to a different area. I will walk away. Yeah. And I think that's okay. But we have to stay empowered, is what I'm trying to say. We don't want to be lemons. We don't want to be led, you know, this way, that way, that way. Okay. Any other questions?
I just wanted to make a comment. In my experience with it, I was at my beautician, and she's like, oh, I can show you what you would look like with like a different hairstyle. She was, let me take a picture of you. So she took a picture on her phone, and then it made all of these images with my face and like put me in the body. So I'm going to show you. So this one of them. So I'm not sure if you can see. So this is what she took my face. Goodness. And that's really? The image that came out. But she could like post that someplace and say that was fake. She was, you know what I mean? So that kind of scared me because it was different. I mean, there's other hairstyles that it showed and, you know, different clothes. And it was like instant that she made this, you know, person like me.
Well, you know, that battle is being fought right now in places like Hollywood and other people who are very artistic, who use, because that's, I didn't even go into that. That's a whole different area in terms of the arts, you know, pictures and images, which are even more difficult to control. But that's clearly a part of it, you know, because someone could hijack your image, you know, and say, is this the person, blah, 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 blah. And they say, yeah, that's her, that's her. And you don't know anything about that. And these are some of the things that we have to correct and just to be aware of. Yeah, but that is definitely a problem. And it's more difficult, I think, to control than the words.
Yeah, because I didn't know what I thought it was going to show, but I was just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. And probably the safest thing is to just say, no, thank you. No, that's okay. And it's great young people because they take pictures all the time, the selfies and this. They don't think anything about it. But that's where it's probably easy just to slow it down a bit if possible. No, good phone. Sure. You don't even think about it because it's done so fast and you don't want to be the bad guy. Right. Right. Because if they have your picture, yeah, exactly. Good point.
Well, yes. It's happening right now in Hollywood. The artists and the movie stars are realizing that out there, someone is posting pictures of them that created with AI, and it's not a real picture, but it is. But it looks
it's
so
a fake,
real,
right? And you can't tell.
Like you say, they can place that image wherever. Yeah. Either to damage or to benefit us. So we have to be careful that the risk is out there already.
Right. And think about it, if you're an artist and your livelihood is based on your creativity and someone steals your creativity and then embellishes it, they can put you out of business or your career is over because the public doesn't know, you know. And these are the battles that are being fought right now. And they haven't been resolved yet, but they're being fought.
Oh, why the characters was against.
Right, while well, they were demonstrating. Yeah. Okay. They can use their images and put them in movies without even having them there, and we can tell the difference. And they do that to some extent by they put some of them in movies and make them look younger, you know. And you said, no, that person is as old as I am. How can they look like that? How can they look that way? You know, and all of this is happening before our very eyes. Right. And they don't have to get paid for it. And that's what I mean. The company can just sort of kick them out and says, no, we're going to go with the avatar. You know, your avatar. We don't need you. We just use your avatar. Exactly.
You know, just a word about the profiling aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a movie called The Minority Report.
Okay.
It does that. If you haven't watched that. And I think it's like, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 years ago.
Oh, that was with Tom Cruise?
I believe either him or Matt Damon or
Leonardo
DiCaprio, one of those two.
And it was one of those futuristic movies.
Yes. And they would arrest people just based on the information.
Right.
You know, 5 years from now, you're going to do this. So we're going to
arrest you. So they would arrest you ahead of time. And then the problem is, because if you can get in the computer, then you can screw it up and make people get arrested who shouldn't get arrested.
I think that was part of the whole plot.
Right. And again, this is my opinion, and I'll stop with it. I think, you know, God sets up things a certain way for a reason. Yeah, we humans try to understand it, and I'm a scientist, and I try to understand it. But at the end of the day, you know, we may not understand it 100%. And a lot of times when we try to understand it so much, we screw it up. But this is where we are now. And I think all of us, Christians and everybody else, we need to be knowledgeable. We need to study. We need to read. We need to understand, we need to teach, educate, et cetera, so we can lead in a proper way. Any other slides? I mean, any other questions? No more slides. Indeed. Yes, sir.
Not a question, but I think it would be good to bring this topic into church.
Sure.
So, because, I mean, once, I have to tell Siri to shut up here.
I said, so your phone is going off.
I said, yeah.
They don't want you to speak, right?
Yeah, because of the, you know how the end times are, I mean, are coming in, and who knows, this might be bubble, our, mm-hmm. our bubble problem, this thing, yes. you know, yeah. bringing yeah. up to a point so we can be recognized in such a way that's our own destruction. I mean, that's going to the limit. But what I'm saying is it's important for us to know, too, so how to teach yes. In the yes. church, because we can go to the fanatic side or the unrealistic side, but we have to be knowledgeable on that too, because it will involve us, and we are involved already. I mean,
yes,
either with knowledge or without it, this thing. So,
you know, Pastor Reeves, I think that's an excellent point. I and this is just me now. I think as a Christian, the way I evangelize I think you go where people are, you know, and if we're concerned about losing people, ask yourself, well, why is that happening? And I'm going to submit it's not always their fault. Maybe, just maybe, we Christians can do a little better. Maybe, to your point, we can reach out to them and say, you know what, we're going to have a discussion about AI because we recognize blah, 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 blah. That maybe that people say, well, you know, I'm going to start going to that church because I've been worried about this stuff, and or whether it's don't make a mess or whatever, that the more relevant we are to their life allows them to maybe to pay more attention to what we want to communicate to them. But if they don't believe that we're relevant to their life, they may say, well, you know, I've got so much to do over here. I'm sorry, but thank you very much. And so to your point, I agree with you. I think the more we can do, and hence one of the reasons for these masterclasses, is to say, this is real world. We understand that we all live in it. This is how we get through it. How can we help you to get through it type thing? And that may be one of the best ways to evangelize other than standing up high and speaking down low to folks about what they should and should not do. Just my opinion. Any other questions, comments? Pastor Rivas, would you close us with a word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord God. In the Deuteronomy 29:29, it says that the things hidden belongs to you, and the one that are revealed are for ourselves. And Father, we thank you, for even science belongs to you. You are the all knowledge, omniscient God whom we serve. Therefore, Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for Dr. Chantao and the group, Lord God, that make this possible to bring us that information so we can be better prepared for whatever you have us to do today and in the near future and in the future way beyond. Let us be the light of this world and help us be the salt. Of your precious name we ask, and we thank you for everything. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD. Be sure to check out other great episodes covering areas of health, wealth, and wisdom at thwwp.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the books, blogs, and other literature in your preferred format. And don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, share, and support the podcast. That's at thwwp.com. You've been listening to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.